On to item number 17, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the final canvas of the results of the November 8th, 2022 general election held in Story County, Nevada. Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer, Story County. This is my first time to do a presentation for Canvas, so bear with me for a minute, but just want to go through some of the basic statistics. We had 3,536 registered voters eligible to vote in the general election this November. Of those, we had 2,575 that actually cast ballots for a turnout in the general election of 72.82%. That turnout is fairly consistent with where we generally are in a midterm election, 2018 being the last one, where we had 73.45%. The comparison to 2020, which is a presidential election, which always has greater turnout, was 80.09. So it is not surprising that we didn't meet quite that threshold, although there were a number of contested races in our county. The more important or more interesting statistic to look at, because this is now our second election cycle with mail-in ballots. We generally, as we saw in 2018, had 66% of our ballots cast in person between early voting and election day. Approximately that in-person balance was pretty well split between the early voting period and in-person on election day. This last cycle, if we look at a apples to apples consideration of a midterm election, we had 64% in person. So that is generally in balance with what we saw in 2018. And of that, 24% was early voting in person. So it's a little lower early voting, and that's probably because we have the new variable that's been introduced of mail-in ballots, of which 36% of our total votes cast were mail-in ballots. We don't have a lot of data to look at these trends, but I think that's interesting to look at because we know that there is quite a bit of interest between how people can vote and the access that we provide our voters to cast their vote in the general election. With that, any questions on that?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for our clerk?
No questions.
Ms. Chairman Mitchell?
Just one or two. My first question has to do with, I had some constituents who brought up concerns about some anomalies or some vote totals that seemed to be out of line. It appears that those are no longer with the final tally, that everything seems to be within kind of a standard variance, if you will. Just curious if you could comment, and certainly if it's easier to take this conversation offline, I'm happy to do that. Are there provisions currently in place under state law or by the Secretary of State's office for review, hand counting, audit, some way to verify if those were persistent concerns coming through the count?
There certainly is the avenue for someone to demand some type of a forensic analysis. That would have to be through the judicial system in order to open it up and for a full audit of the result. We will be running through a statistical test just to take ballots, both as cast on the paper, as we saw through the machines, and the mail-in ballots to do a review to see if there is indeed a consistency in that. But it is not that audit, which will take place, I believe, end of the month, right at the beginning of December. I can get you that specific date if you want. But that would be of a sample, and it would just be a quick audit to see if everything did balance or if something on a larger basis would be needed. In addition to those two avenues, there really is nothing else that will go on with this in terms of an audit of this election. I have also had questions posed to me, maybe similar to some of your constituents. I'll point one out that is one that came to me directly, and that was with the result in the Attorney General's race. It was brought to my attention that there seemed to be a very high number of undervote. And for the record, an undervote is the number of votes that are eligible to be cast, but not in that specific race. So again, if we have 3,536 eligible votes and only 2,000, or let me re-correct that. If we had 2,575 votes cast total overall over all races, but in a specific race, the total was less than that, that difference is an undervote. What came up specifically in my review, very non-statistical, just looking at it to try and help people understand. We had a lot of people that just didn't vote in the AG's race, maybe because it was too controversial, you know, why, that's up to the voter. Another very interesting aspect of that race was that there was a candidate that was on the ballot, but was ineligible to hold office. And because of the timing of the protest of that candidate's placement on the ballot, the Secretary of State, and I believe the courts decided that that candidate could not be removed. There were people that still voted for that candidate. And that added to the undervote because that was determined to be a vote that was ineligible, but it was still one that is in the total, almost like an abstention when you take a vote. The abstention isn't counted as a plus or minus, but it is in the denominator for the total, the total percentage of votes cast. So I was able to talk to some people, provide that detail in my findings, looking at some of the ballots, paper ballots, just again, non-statistically, and it helped them understand why they're seeing a bigger undervote in that race. But we could have some things like that across all races where a voter just didn't seem to care for either candidate. And only in statewide races is there a none of the above. So anything that is a district race or even federal races, you don't have none of the above. And so that's not an eligible vote in that context. So that accounts for why we see some of these variances that people have pointed out.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah, that was
one. That may be more detail than you wanted, but people were interested in it.
Yeah, and that was one race that I was concerned about for that reason. You know, there certainly were a higher number of none of the above in that race, but the undervotes were specifically, it looked like there was it was outside the range of every other statewide office, which were in a fairly tight grouping, and it was outside of that. In the final tally, it looks like it's come into that same range.
Yeah.
And so not concerned. Not so much a technical question, but my last question is, you know, it seems like we have moved to expand access to voting, and yet turnout does not seem to be going up. If anything, it seems to be slipping a bit. Any commentary or thoughts on that?
As we see the mail, we'll have to watch that trend. It does not seem to be growing considerably within Story County. At the same time, we had weather, and we all know what it was like Tuesday for the in-person turnout getting to the polls. But again, I think you raise a good point, which is we're providing more avenues, and at the same time, we're pretty much in control, if you want to look at typical or traditional turnout numbers.
Great. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I don't have any questions for you at this time, Jim. Is there any public comment regarding item number 17 and the final canvas?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just under 293.387, I'd like to make sure that the motion also includes a provision that says that you approve the canvas and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanical report of the abstract to the Secretary of State. That's required to be set out in the minutes of the county.
Okay. You want me to repeat it?
Yes, if you, please.
Mind repeating that one more time, Keith?
And so add at the end of the motion, and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanized report of the abstract to the Secretary of State.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any other public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell,
Mr. Chair, may I make just a couple more comments on this? Sure. First of all, I want to say that the website, which has a direct link from the landing page, from the home page to election results, those results for countywide offices have been updated per the data that we have presented to you in the abstract. I've also placed links there so that they can go directly to the Story County results on the Secretary of State's website and get the results for federal offices all the way through the ballot questions. In addition, they also have a link on the website that takes them to the general elections result on the Secretary of State's website, so they can see the statewide and what other results are by county, et cetera, anything that they want to look at that the Secretary of State publishes. So that is very accessible on the website that is up and active as of this morning. As well as the abstract itself, as we've referenced for this meeting, is viewable under today's commission meeting, under board agendas, under county commission. People can go and get the full detail, which provides the results by race, by precinct, and in total for the county. I'd also like to talk about our goals in this, and this is going to be our goal again in 2024. Is to make sure that everybody understands the process we are going through for elections. Everybody understands their points of participation, whether it be just a vote, which we push very strongly, but also observation and being able to apply with the clerk's office as a poll worker. We encourage participation. We want people to get involved and to be confident in the process that we are implementing. I think we had a very efficient and a very transparent process this time, and we're going to work to improve that as we go forward. Again, I want to give many thanks to the poll workers that came out, especially through early voting. We had 2 weeks of early voting, and we had a great response from people who wanted to work the polls and get experience. We thank them tremendously for the effort. We could not do this as effectively if we did not have their participation. And then we also had a considerable amount of observers that came into the polling places. And we, the clerk's office, welcomes any and all observers who abide by the rules. And by in general, everybody did that. They were very respectful to the process. And I thank them very much. And again, I just want to make sure everybody recognizes the efforts of the deputy clerks in the clerk's office, Heather Faircloth, who really organized and ran this election and did it in a very professional and effective manner with the help of deputy clerks Alicia Duke and Rebecca Livingston, and also Paul Livingston, Rebecca's husband, helped us as basically an election coordinator and helped us really coordinate equipment and delivery and allowed this to come off as a very effective and a very successful election. As you see, we still have equipment up here in the courtroom. This is where the final analysis and tally is done, and we'll be taking that down. But we have some final steps to do to conform with the Secretary of State in election security and final documentation and security of our vote data. And so that will be done within the week because we do have court on Friday, so it must be out of here by then. I just thank all the commissioners and the staff of the county as well, who provided a lot of support. Thank you for your backing and for all the confidence you put in the clerk's office for the conduct of this election. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the final canvass of the November 8th, 2022 general election in and for Story County and order the county clerk to make a copy of the abstract and make a mechanical report to the Secretary of State.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again, Jim, to you and your staff. Moving right along, item number 18, this is discussion for possible action for consideration of possible approval of.